I'm sick of it. I'm sick of death. That's all I could think to myself as I walked through the darkness and the drizzle last Friday evening. It had been a long day of mourning, a long day of crying, a long day of worshiping with lights dimmed, with voices hushed, with heads bowed, with church art and articles gone, as the members of Faith Lutheran Church took their annual places with Christians around the world at the foot of a bloody Roman cross, to which was nailed the most pitiful of men. His body was naked and exposed. His skin was torn to shreds. His bones were visible and out of joint. His friends gone. His father gone. His God gone. And there we stood, listening to the screams, the shouts, and the sobs of a man being reduced to beast, to a lamb, to an innocent lamb, bleeding, pleading, dying for me, because of me, to save me. That was Friday, and I was sick of it. I was sick of death. After the last light was dimmed and the candle extinguished, I went to my office, ready for the day to be done, ready to finally go back home, ready for Easter, when I caught a glimpse of something that brought the pain surging back. On the corner of my desk, there was a stack of wooden crosses, six tall. These crosses were supposed to be hanging in our gathering space, but because of some water damage this past winter and some repairs, they've been residing in my office. On each of these wooden crosses is inscribed a name. Different names, and yet familiar names. These weren't names of just any old person, weren't names of complete strangers. These were names of members. Members we knew, members we loved, members we worshiped with and communed with, that we laughed with and cried with, each member having their own story, their own date of birth, their own accomplishments and achievements, their own failures and vices, their own family and friends, but none of those things were inscribed in the crosses. Oh no, just their dates of death. There it was again. I thought I was past it. I thought it was time for Easter. But even though the then empty, pitch black, silent sanctuary still rang with the words, "It is finished," my pain sure wasn't. Because there it was again. Death. And I'm sick of it. When I got home that evening, I flopped down on the bed with a sigh of relief. It was done. I can hang up the dark clothes for another year. All that waited for me in the weekend was rest on Saturday and joy on Sunday. And that hope and anticipation carried me all the way to the next morning until I walked out of my shower, and my shower thoughts were interrupted by the sound of my phone buzzing, notifying me that a man I had just met a few months ago, a man who asked me to take him through membership classes, a man whose home is full of a wife and a whole lot of work to do, a man who just took the Lord's Supper with his bride for the first time in a decades-long marriage from a hospice bed. And he was dead. Passed away just a few hours before. Just as soon as I thought I was over, death was back, taunting me, laughing at me, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the pain. I'm sick of the suffering. I'm sick of watching everything I try and build, everything I work on, everyone I love slowly decay and then disappear as if they never existed. I'm sick of it. And maybe you are too. What, or I should say, who has death stolen from you? What seat will be empty at your Easter celebration this year? What place in your heart echoes with emptiness? What was the goal that so filled you with excitement? The vision that filled you with such zeal? The hope that filled you with such anticipation that now sits on the shelf collecting dust or sits rotting in the recesses of your brain? We try and avoid it, don't we? We try to pretend it's not real, that it's not true. But how many of our waking hours don't we spend trying to convince ourselves that things aren't really as bad as they seem? We convince ourselves that this is it. This time it'll mean something. This time it'll work. This time, unlike all the other times, the things and the ones I love will last. But they don't. So what do? Well, we distract ourselves, don't we? You can call it what you like. You can call them hobbies. You can call them jobs. You can call them relationships or sports, entertainment. But they all boil down to the same exact thing. Manufactured meaning in this seemingly meaningless world. There will always be one more thing to learn, one more thing to build, one more hour to work and one more dollar to make, one more date to enjoy and one more night to spend, one more trophy to win and one more record to break, one more show to watch and one more game to play, just one more, and then it will be okay. But it's never enough. Just like the wind, it goes so fast. And as soon as you find something that your heart actually takes pleasure in, actually enjoys, well, that's the very moment it disappears. Day by day, time marches on with no care for you. No care for your history, no care for your story, no care for what happens between the two dates that will mark each and every one of our gravestones. This is the fate of all mankind. For everyone. Rich, poor, good, bad, believer, unbeliever, you name it, it's all the same. And use whatever axiom you want. Seize the day. Might as well use it because you can't take it with you. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. Death laughs at them all. Because he knows how no matter how hard we fight, no matter how hard we struggle, no matter how hard we pretend that it's all okay, he knows it's not, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of his taunting voice. I'm sick of how every time I think I'm a little okay, he pushes me back down and taunts me, saying, "What are you going to do about it?" And correct me if I'm wrong, but the world doesn't seem to have a good answer. It's really good at pretending it's not true. It's really good at pretending that things are all right. It's really good at masking the problem, but fixing it? Fixing the problem of death? I haven't seen it. Have you? There has to be more than this. There has to be another way, because if this is it, if this life is all that we have, if our existence is nothing but perception and experience, then life is nothing more than a cruel, twisted joke, and we are of all people most to be pitied. So yeah, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of death. And I'm sick of the world's solutions. and so was God. He was sick of it since the fall. He's grown sick and tired of watching the human beings he loves so much suffer so much. So sick of it, in fact, that he was determined to do something about death, even if it killed him. And it did. This is the alternative. This is the alternative to all of the world's lack of answers. This Jesus is the alternative. That most pitiable man we talked about earlier, the man on the bloody Roman cross, the one who was screaming, sobbing, shouting, bleeding, pleading, dying. He's the Lamb of God who became human 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world, whose heart stopped, whose lungs were pierced by a spear, whose body was wrapped and placed in a tomb. This was God's solution. This was God's sacrifice. This was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Your sin and mine. Because here's the difficult truth. You know that death that we've talked so much about, that death that we're so sick of? Yeah, that was our fault. Not only the world's death, but also Jesus' death. We are not victims on this world stage. We are perpetrators. We are unknowingly and unwittingly more so allies with death than adversaries. And yet, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still wretched, while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. That was Friday, the day that it seemed that death won. But it's not Friday. It's Sunday. And the church isn't dark. It's full of light. And this chancel isn't empty. It was full of signs of joy and life and victory, because the tomb that was sealed that Friday evening has now been opened and it's empty. The body that was once wrapped in cloth, laying inside, it's gone. The Lamb that was slain lives. Jesus lives. He's alive. There is only one thing that remains in that tomb to this day, and it's death itself, never to rise again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. If you find yourselves sick of death, sick of decay, sick of the frailty and meaninglessness of this life, here's the alternative. Here's the hope in despair. Here's the victory where the world sees defeat. In this Jesus of Nazareth, a real man who is real God, who was really born, who really lived, who really suffered, who really died, who really was buried, in him, death has lost its sting. Because he lives, death isn't loss. It's victory. It isn't the end, it's just the beginning. Because he lives, those things and the ones that have been separated from you by this veil of tears will be restored to you by the one who makes all things new. Because he lives, the death that was intended to separate you from God and from each other instead has done the complete opposite. It no longer separates, but brings together. It is the portal to a new world, a new heavens, and a new earth, where we will live with bodies free from the ills that plagued us this side of heaven, where we will live with those who have departed, who have gone before us forever, where we will live with the God whose faithfulness and mercy and love endures forever and ever. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is the hope and confidence of the members of Faith Lutheran Church. And this is why we gather together this Easter morning to praise the one who conquered death, to praise the one who rose from the grave, to praise the one who bore our sin and won for us eternal life. We worship this morning because God's salvation story does not stop with the darkness of Good Friday, but with the rising sun of Easter Sunday. We worship this morning because the crosses that sit in my office on my desk not only have names and dates of death, but between the two are inscribed these words: entered eternal glory. We worship this morning because the man who died yesterday and all those who have died trusting in the risen Lord Jesus have exchanged their crosses for crowns, have left behind this veil of tears, death, and decay, and have a place safe in Jesus' arms. And there they will rest until the day when we with them will hear the last trumpet, when we with them receive imperishable life, when we with them shout for victory and joy. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But for now, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of death. I'm sick of the world's solutions. I'm sick of chasing dreams and meaning in things I know will not last. I'm sick of it. And I bet you are too. If you are, join me in going again to the empty tomb and looking inside and not seeing a body, but a promise. A promise made to every man, woman, and child that has ever lived or will ever live, no matter who they are or what they've done. And the promise is this: whatever happens in this life, whatever you suffer, whatever you go through, whatever death takes from you, whatever doubts and fears grips your heart, you do not need to fear death. For even if you die, you will live. For death is dead, because he lives. Amen.